Welcome, everybody, to Post Game Takeaways presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Tyler James. He's the one and only Eric Hansen, and we're back in our respective homes to share our post game takeaways from Notre Dame's 70-7 trouncing of Syracuse. But first, let me share a word from our friends at Academy Sports and Outdoors. The holiday season is here, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has the legendary gifts you need at undefeatable prices every day. Shop in store or online at academy.com to save on gifts on everybody's list. From football jerseys and basketball hoops to fire pits and deer stands. The most wonderful time of the year happens here. This Christmas, give the gift of fun from Academy Sports and Outdoors. I need to get some Christmas shopping done myself, so I might have to hit up Academy Sports and Outdoors here in the coming week. Eric, this one got out of control early against Syracuse. What was your biggest takeaway from Notre Dame's latest victory?
just some really statistical oddities in the most weird game I think I've covered in my career. It was the most points Notre Dame had scored since they played somebody named Haskell in 1932 in the season opener that year. So we're talking over 90 years ago. And then in Syracuse, it was the fourth most lopsided loss in their history. And all three that were larger, and not by much, were in the 1800s. where you start, I mean, just really weird things. Like Notre Dame had 39 offensive plays and scored 70 points. And Syracuse had 80 offensive plays and almost got shut out. But for me, what I ended up, I mean, Jeremiah Love, yeah, I'm all over the place. Jeremiah Love with his 8 carries that had 3 touchdowns and 171 yards. And I think he helped himself in the Heisman race today. So I'll go to that when we get past the weirdness. That and then the defense. Again, Syracuse isn't a good offense, and they were playing a quarterback that didn't have much experience. But what they're doing since the mid-September, you know, uncomfortable meeting is historic. And even Marcus was moved to superlatives and talking about how sustained that inflection point has been from them. And they've just built on it. And it's really exciting in a game where Tay Johnson didn't even play, and that you had 43 players play on defense. So you almost went 4 deep at every position on average and still put up, limited Syracuse to 2.9 yards per play, which is the lowest number Notre Dame's defense has put out this season. So those would be my two. Now that I'm done rambling and you're half asleep, how about your takeaways?
I think Notre Dame scored 3 touchdowns in the length of your answer.
Exactly. I think they did.
To me, it starts with the defense. Like, it's hard to imagine a more dominant start than what they did, right? I mean, granted, you don't give necessarily the credit for the blocked punt to the defense, but those are defensive guys out there making the plays. Jalen Stroman deflecting the
punt. And they also forced the punt. They forced the 3-and-out.
And Luke Talich returning it for a touchdown, and then 2 pick sixes. It was comically bad from Syracuse from the start, and it never really got much better. I mean, they scored at the very end, but Syracuse was completely outmatched. Like, I've seen I've had to have seen thousands of football games in my life at this point. I can't remember something as ugly as that was, like, in the first half. Like, it was just brutal. Like, Notre Dame was scoring at will. They had run 15 offensive plays and they're already at 49-0. I think there was a discussion. I'm not sure if it came out in Notre Dame's postgame notes yet. If this is the fewest amount of plays that Notre Dame has had in like the modern era in a game, just because they had the ball so infrequently because they were scoring so quickly, right? And Syracuse had so much time of possession. The time of possession advantage was 41 minutes and 50 seconds for Syracuse compared to 18:10 for Notre Dame. Like, that's, you don't see that with the score the way it ends up. Like, Notre Dame had the ball for the amount of time they would have in like a triple option offense game against an Academy. It was just truly stunning how dominant Notre Dame was from the get-go with his defense, and then the offense sort of picked right up where the defense was going once it finally got a chance to get on the field.
Yeah, it was a little bit more than 18 minutes they had the ball. I'm going to have to look. The lowest I can remember is around 50. It just doesn't happen very often. For 39, it was not in the post-game notes. So
okay,
there was a lot of stuff. I mean, they'd still be typing them out if they wanted
yeah,
to.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, all the people that played for the first time, they didn't put any of that stuff in. That they usually get those things. And there are so many. I mean, and this was a long post-game notes, a lot of Jeremiah Love-related stuff, but a lot of other really interesting things too. But the bottom line is Notre Dame, I mean, people talk about style points all the time. I mean, this is a team that continues to get better, which is more important than style points. Even in a team as bad as Syracuse, I mean, Miami only beat them a few weeks ago, 38-10, and it was the same team. The Miami team that, you know, the people keep saying head to head. And then it's like, what about SMU beating you guys head to head? Oh, well, that doesn't count. But I think Miami's a good team, but I mean, Notre Dame just destroyed this team. And they have Stanford next week. Stanford won today. They beat Cal tonight on the West Coast. But I think it's going to be maybe not this wide of a margin, but I think it's going to be a pretty wide margin. And when you look around college football, they kind of did what they needed to do on a day where there wasn't a lot of chaos in the rankings. You know, the only team that really hurt itself is Georgia Tech that I can think of off the top of my head. I haven't done my top 25 poll yet, but Georgia Tech getting drummed by Pittsburgh. And this is another point. I mean, Notre Dame held Pittsburgh to 3.4 yards a play in that game. And this is a Pitt team that went on the road and put 42 points up at Georgia Tech tonight. So I think the thing that helped Notre Dame's perception as much as anything tonight was that Pitt-Georgia Tech score, 42-28. And Pittsburgh has a chance to maybe get into the ACC championship game. They need a little bit of help, and they need to beat Miami as well.
Yeah, and that, obviously that would end all complaining about Miami or Miami.
Not all complaining.
No, yes, it will. No, Miami loses a third day. Miami fans will not complain about being lower than Notre Dame. They won't. They can't. It's impossible. If they do, they should shut down their football program, because you cannot complain about being left out and losing in the ACC three times. That conference is terrible. And we saw what its conference is made of tonight with Syracuse. Like, that is a terrible conference. Even Stanford's got four wins. It's because they play in the ACC. Granted, only three of their wins are against ACC teams, but it's not a good conference. It simply isn't. There's a couple of decent teams at the top, but it is a bad, bad football conference. Notre Dame is benefiting from that in some ways, and also being hurt by that in some ways too, where it can't get a lot of quality wins on its schedule because of how down some of these ACC teams are.
There's a chance Pitt might move back into the top 25 this week, and sure, that would be helpful.
I wanted to mention, like, Stanford, they picked up their fourth win. All four of those games have come at home. You don't think of Stanford Stadium as like a hostile environment for road teams, but they've won four of their five games at home so far this season. And that's where Notre Dame will travel for its final game of the season at a 10:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff time. But not to look too, it's hard to not look forward when the game was so not non-competitive. But I thought it was cool. You mentioned Jeremiah Love at the top, like the way that he sort of maximized his opportunities. I think we said before we started the show, he had 16 offensive snaps according to PFF. And then did what he did with his 8 carries, scoring 3 touchdowns, pulling out another Heisman pose. At this point, I would be surprised if he's not invited to New York and among the finalists. Because I just feel like who's going to vote and not include him on their ballot? Because you vote for 3 people, and I just feel like everyone's going to include him on there. They might not pick him to win, but I feel like it's going to be hard to ignore excluding him from the top three. So I would imagine that he's probably secured a trip there, and obviously can add to that against Stanford with maybe some more outstanding plays. But the way he sort of just runs away from opposing defenses is pretty impressive and really hard to stop.
Yeah, I think he's helped himself a lot, and I think Notre Dame's helped him from a PR standpoint. They waited till late in the season to really give him a lot of exposure with, you know, podcasts and so forth. And he projects very well, and he's winning a lot of people over. And then the era that we're in where you can, you know, you don't have to watch ESPN Sports Center and stuff. I mean, you can see it on your social media and so forth, and you see him play. And really the visual of him playing is so much more powerful than his numbers. And then to be able to do what he did today with eight carries, I mean, CJ Carr, you know, if he was in the Heisman race, it would have ended tonight. Oh gosh, he only, you know, I think Notre Dame as a team only had like 67 passing yards or something really low. Maybe that was just CJ's total. I'll have to look here, but no, it was 67 as a team.
Yeah.
And so
I was thinking Jordan Faison was one of the people that was sent out to talk to the reporters. He had two catches for 21 yards. You think we've talked to a receiver that wasn't a senior or had some like special story that had fewer receiving yards in a game?
Yeah.
That was
well, and Malachi Fields only got targeted twice, and he had that big long streak of one catch, and he had one catch today, but they just didn't throw the ball very much, and they kind of couldn't at some point because it was mean. You know,
well, unless they're just getting kneeled down. 13.7 yards a carry, so it's hard to argue with not throwing the football.
It is, but again, I thought at one point it was going to be really difficult for Jeremiah Love to be in the finalists. I think now I would be shocked if he were not. And you hear more of the national people banging the drum for him now. A lot of those people don't have votes, but they, I think, influence people that do have them. You know, when Desmond Howard says he thinks Jeremiah Love, and that's a former Heisman Trophy winner himself, and he does have a vote, it got my attention when he said that. Not that it changes my vote, but I think that's powerful for Desmond Howard, because I don't think a lot of people think he likes Notre Dame.
Yeah, and Alan Pinkett on our Third and Gold podcast last week said he thought he was the best Notre Dame running back in program history, and that's not low praise either.
Right.
So there's a lot of good, a lot of people who know football who are talking about Jeremiah Love in fanciful terms. I'm struggling to come up with the right adjective for that, but I just think the way that people are talking about him, he's sort of become a bit undeniable in some ways in terms of that Heisman conversation. But I think winning it might be a little bit too far to hope. But who knows? We'll see what happens. So that probably would need some of the other candidates to sort of not play well down the stretch in their final game or conference championship games. But in terms of my column was about, like, there's not really much to nitpick from this Notre Dame game. Like, sure, folks are going to still argue about Notre Dame's resume on Tuesday night, but in terms of the most recent outcome for Notre Dame, no one's going to mention that game in terms of trying to nitpick Notre Dame. Not a lot to pick apart. Obviously, it's the job of the coaching staff to find some things that they did wrong to continue to try to improve. One thing that still has not occurred is Eric Schmidt making a field goal. He didn't attempt one tonight. They didn't find a way to get him a field goal attempt. So Notre Dame will go into its season finale with a kicker that has yet to make a field goal. He's over three. That's one of the things I was hoping to see tonight, him at least get a chance to get his first field goal make. But otherwise, yeah, I don't know where you turn for things to nitpick from this one.
One, I think, positive thing that came out in the press conference was I asked Marcus Freeman about the severity of Tay Johnson's hand injury, and he thought at best he would miss just today's game against Syracuse, and at worst he would miss today and the Stanford game next Saturday. He was very confident he would be back for the postseason. So that's good news. But all those safeties played like they were Tay Johnson tonight.
Yeah, the one potential bad news to watch out for is Kingston Viliamuasa went down with an injury at some point during the game. We didn't get any details about that in the post-game press conference. I'm sure we'll get some information by Monday or on Monday from Notre Dame with Marcus Freeman's weekly press conference, a condensed week with the Thanksgiving travels and all that. But obviously Kingston Viliamuasa has been very – valuable for Notre Dame's defense. So if he misses an extended period of time, that would hurt the Irish. But obviously there's a lot of linebackers that Notre Dame likes to play, so that it's not like they lack experience and guys that can contribute, but he's been a real, real difference maker for Notre Dame.
I haven't looked at Madden Faramo's numbers tonight, but boy, he was kind of popping out when the reserves were playing. Yeah. He had a pretty good score. He played 28 snaps, 78.4, but Notre Dame had three guys in the 90s. Ethan Long, Leonard Moore, and Jalen Stroman were all in the 90s, and Donovan Heinisch was just a hair behind them at 89.7, which is impressive.
They must have not – PFF must have not dinged Donovan Heinisch for his roughing the passer penalty, which kept a Syracuse drive alive, but – I don't know if there's anything else you want to highlight or talk about before we get out of here, Eric. Anything else you got on mind?
I think we hit it pretty good. That it was just, wow, a crazy butt kicking. I mean, four possessions and almost half the quarter before Notre Dame's offense got their hands on the ball. And by the time they did, it was 21-0. So we're going to have Football Never Sleeps on Monday night at a special time, right, Tyler? We're going to do it at 8 o'clock Eastern rather than 7. We have some interview duties Monday night we normally don't have because of the condensed week. We have players and assistant coaches and so forth. So we'll have plenty to talk about Monday. Marcus Freeman will still have his press conference on Monday, but that's the next time to look. And I think, are you doing the staff roundtable on the Blue and Gold channel tomorrow?
I don't think so, but I have not confirmed or denied that yet. So maybe I'll show up for that.
I'll be on that tomorrow as well. So I will not have a tie on tomorrow, though.
We may not have a Third and Gold podcast this week, just with all the condensed nature of the week. It's a little bit hard for us to find a time where we can get together and then also find a guest that can do it during Thanksgiving week. So if we don't do that, our apologies, but we'll continue to obviously have Football Never Sleeps on Monday, as Eric mentioned, at 8 o'clock, and then post game takeaways at when the sun rises, I think, after the Stanford game, because we're going to be up really late after that one with the 10:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff. So we appreciate everyone tuning in tonight or this morning for post game takeaways, depending on when you're watching it. And we will see you soon. Have a good Sunday.